Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to sit here for dhikr throughout this month. Allah ta'ala has given us this opportunity that in this month, the whole deen that Allah ta'ala has given to us, we revise it, we go over it, and we practice it. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's karam, we enter into Ramadan in this way, because it is lazim in Ramadan to practice the actions and Allah has put the condition on the fasting day and normally anyway. So we practice, we revise everything, we go over everything. And Allah has put such barakah in Ramadan that He makes us practice everything and then becomes beneficial for us for the rest of the year. And Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in it, Allah Ta'ala puts blessings into it, and the person then starts to practice the deen. So Ramadan is slowly departing, leaving. So we kept on speaking regularly and so that we could understand Allah Ta'ala's deen and inshallah put it into practice. And we've seen all the parts of Ramadan and all the discussions we had, what we thought, what we discussed, what we understood, and we looked at the importance of various things. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a life with an objective, and whatever we've heard in this month of Ramadan, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon it, to understand it. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives tawfiq. When Allah Ta'ala gives something, when He allows us to listen and to understand, then inshallah He will give us the tawfiq to practice as well. Now Ramadan is also called the month of sabr. It has been given that title. So it's obvious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also put this topic or this subject within Ramadan. That sabr. What is patience? What is sabr? Maybe we know it, we've heard it. We say, sabr, do sabr, do sabr. If some loss comes our way, we say, do sabr, do sabr, do sabr. And this is a very common word, but this is not a little word. This is not a little word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced this word in the Quran. And we'll see how has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done it. Allah ta'ala says, wal asr. Allah ta'ala swears. So sabr cannot be a little thing. And Allah Ta'ala has taught us sabr in this month as well. And explained and emphasized on sabr in this month. I'm not saying this to you to explain to you. Myself, I am in need. And what we should do is pay attention that this is the month of sabr. So Allah Ta'ala is refreshing our minds and revising, making us revise this subject matter. What is sabr? What is the genuine meaning or the real meaning of sabr? Is this sabr that you've got a stomach pain and you have sabr? Or you get ill and you've got sabr? And is there any sabr beyond this, or is this just this the definition? Otherwise Allah wouldn't swear in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has very few times in the Quran sworn. And in one place Allah Ta'ala has, subhanallah, sworn by the life of Rasulullah that, O Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I swear by your life, your age, that when Rasulullah's life is, mashallah. So Allah Ta'ala, He gave that emphasis that what will be the situation about the sunnah of Rasulullah, that if you swear by somebody, then everything of that person becomes great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is swearing by the age, the life of Rasulullah. So imagine how great and important is his sunnah. Now, sabr, as I said, is when we have natural issues that come our way, natural difficulties. There are two, you can say, natural facts that face us normally. Either something a person attains in his life, or sometimes he doesn't attain something. I'll try to explain it a bit more simpler. Either a person gets something according to his nature, something that suits his character, or suits his character, or suits his emotions at that time, or something that he gets doesn't suit his character, or doesn't suit what he likes, and is more in the group of dislike. So both things come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you attain something, I'll give you a small example. Let's take a banana. Do you want to have a banana? No, I don't want to eat the banana. Oh, because it's not according to my liking. And that same banana in it is vitamin D, C, B, A, and proteins and all nutrients. And one person, you offer him a banana. He says, no, don't give me the banana, but give me a glass of water. But you don't want the banana? Okay, fair enough. So what is he? He's rejected. He doesn't want that banana because it's not according to his preference. Why? Because if he eats it, even if he eats it because he's a bit ashamed, the person's forcing him, pushing him, then all the time he'll think, oh, I went and he forced me to have the banana. I didn't want to eat the banana. Oh, I couldn't even open up the shop. I couldn't run my business during the day. I wasn't feeling good. So sometimes things are opposite to the nature of a man, to his natural habits. So you shouldn't force somebody. No, eat it, eat it. No. The other person thinks that he's maybe ashamed. Definitely give it to this person. So this is also a point in Sharia that be careful that don't force something on somebody's head. That, do you want the banana? No. Put this itar on your body. And he doesn't know that, does this itar, this fragrance suit him? Does he like it? So is there compatibility or not compatibility? So here a point arises that to somebody, once you can present or propose something to someone, hey, do you want this atar, this perfume? Put it on. Jazakallah, no. No, put someone, come on, put it on. And then he, the sad poor soul, puts it on, then he starts sneezing, achoo, spoils his salah and his ibadah. And this happens, doesn't it, sometimes where you force something and it's not to the liking of that person, and then it spoils that person. This is adab, manners, and it's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, how to offer something. That offer, yes, most definitely. For example, you said to someone, please come to the invitation to my feast. No, I can't come. What's the issue? You've got a stomach problem? No, you've got to come. I'll come and collect you. With you is barakah and blessings. And that person, he doesn't want to come for some reason. So he has another direction. And there's an alternative to this, that if he can't come, at least he'll do dua for you, because you invited that person, and both things are the same. If for some reason he can't come, but you force him, no, you've got to come, you keep on pushing and dragging that person. So this was a topic that you have to understand, compatibility of a person's liking, his desire. To explain this, I explained these examples. So there are two things in this. So how such a fine thing Islam takes, but it teaches us something important. So this is Ramadan, where we revise and go over that Islam is in accordance with our natural traits and our character. So what's the other point now with regards to compatibility and liking? So which ibadat comes out of this point? Compatibility and liking. Very big point. What is that? Very big ibadah, very big worship. What comes out of this? Allahu Akbar. According to your feelings and emotions and your character and your liking, and it's compatible with you. So what will happen? At this time, for example, you've gone to eat something and the food comes according to your liking. There are less spices, not too spicy. You like it, it's tasty. So you'll feel good. You'll feel revitalized and happy and comfortable. You've attained something to eat that you wanted. You'll be happy. Your heart becomes happy at that time. So, to promote and to demonstrate this happiness, there are two things here. That who is the one who gives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Allah ta'ala is the one who gives of water to drink. Ramadan makes us practice all of these things, whether we like them or not. So if a person gets something that he wants, for example, he gets money or wealth or children or mal, and his money is increasing. Here now the test and the trial starts. That does he take this towards deen or does he take it towards kufr? Is he ungrateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah ta'ala says this. What did Allah ta'ala say? فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah ta'ala says, be grateful that when you attain something, do Allah ta'ala shukr. That when you attain something in the world, in your life, according to your liking, according to your nature, then what should you do? You shouldn't take that thing towards haram. For example, you're healthy, you start to get mal and you're powerful, and then you start to impose yourself on other people. Oh, I'm eating, I'm healthy, I do exercise, I'm fit. Let's hit this person. I'm more powerful. Oh, I've got a lot of money. Let's look down at the people who don't have wealth and all un-Islamic and unlawful things. Let's buy them and use them. This is sin. Where a person utilizes his resources, his wealth and his power and his health, awlad and mal and children, and he goes towards haram. He goes towards the wrong side of life. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you're happy, when you've got all the resources that you need, what should you do? What should be the result? You should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be happy and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who should you focus on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah gives you all all the things you want in life, you should become the shakir and do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So has this not become ibadat? It's become ibadat. So what we have to see is when you get something which is according to your liking and is compatible with your lifestyle and character, then fadhkuruni adhkurkum, do the thana of Allah before eating, do the dua. After eating, do the dua. When you drink, then on every sip, do the dua. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. What is this? Because it's according to your character and liking. When you eat something sweet, alhamdulillah, praise Allah, do shukr of Allah. So when a person does shukr to Allah, when he does the hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he praises Allah, fadhkuruni yadhkurkum, then Allah ta'ala gives a reward that when you do my shukr, when you're grateful to me, in reality, when you're doing dhikr, then what's happening at that time in reality is that you're not doing my hamd. Rather, you are doing my hamd, but what is the ajr, the reward I'm going to give to you? Why are you doing this? Because you're doing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I gave you something which was according to your liking. So you're grateful to me. Allah says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So Allah says, when you're grateful to me, then I remember you in the heavens. And this is dhikri alahi. This is remembering Allah. That when you have the ni'mas, yesterday I mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, that what are you doing, masaba? Dhikr. Why are you doing dhikr? Allah, Rasulullah SAW, we're doing it for this reason, because we are grateful for what Allah has given to us. They had no food, no clothes, they were hungry, and they had no clothes to wear, sitting in the hot weather climate, and they were sweltering, they had nothing, but they said, Allah has given us the greatest reward in the universe. Allah has given us iman, and they were grateful for this, and they were doing dhikr for this, and for which Allah Ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah SAW that go and sit with these sahaba of yours. Their stomachs were empty, they were doing dhikr. They had things in their life which was not in accordance with their liking, still they did dhikr. Allah said, this is the dhakir. At that time, he continues to do dhikr. When he doesn't have things that he wants, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you the greatest reward, that I am remembering you as well. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So when something you get in life and it suits you, you like it, you prefer it, inshallah, I'll close that point there and I'll speak about shukr again. But the topic I wanted to speak about today is beyond this. It's another subject. There's a higher grade than this, and we want to speak on that point with relationship to Ramadan. So Ramadan, it gives us little pointers, gives us little advices. So I want to revive those pointers and those reminders, so that Allah Ta'ala says that, don't leave my remembrance. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, the biggest shukr, the biggest way to be grateful to Allah, the best way, the greatest way to be to shukr to Allah is, Allah, we've come to your dhikr, and we're doing dhikr for this reason. The maqsad, the objective is that you've given us health, and this long we have remained and stayed alive in Ramadan, Allah, you've given us health, and then your dhikr will be accepted. The rest, the rewards, Allah Ta'ala said that, I'll give you these rewards, if you do my dhikr, I will give you this, X, Y, Z. But we don't come here for reward, then there's no enjoyment. Then you are the greedy person who's come here for greed. So do you understand? The asal, the ruh, the spirit of remembering Allah, the reason, the essence in remembering Allah is, Allah, you gave me Ramadan, you gave me ni'mas, you gave me health, I'm healthy, I'm coming to Taraweeh, Majalis, listening to the words of my Shaykh, I'm in the company of my Shaykh, the women, the men who take part in the Majlis, who do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Allah, you've given me all of these great rewards, and I'm doing your dhikr for this reason. I'm amazed sometimes. People give sadaqah after this majlis, I tell you the truth. Why? Because this is going internationally, globally, and I get the news from around the world. People give me the news and feedback. Some people, mashallah, brothers and sisters, they give sadaqah. They're listening right now. That, Allah, I'm so grateful you kept me alive, and I've sat in the majlis of my Shaykh, and I heard my Shaykh, and I did dhikr. Allah, I want to give this much sadaqah. In the masjid, they give sadaqah, trying to repay the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They feed people in the masjid. Subhanallah, what minds they've got, what brains they've got. Think. So, what is the ajr? The ajr, there are two ajr for this. Two rewards Allah Ta'ala gives for this. And listen carefully. What has that person done? Not that he just sat in dhikr and he heard his Shaykh speaking. No. He had a beautiful thought. Allah, you've given me an opportunity to come to dhikr. You could have put me on some other path. I could have been ill. I could have been in an accident or in a tragedy. For us, it's easy, isn't it? We take it for granted. We just come. We went to work. Closed the shop. We stopped driving the taxi. We stopped working. And we're in the office. We left work and came and sat down with ease. And we just listened. But there's a big difference. The person who's sitting many miles away and he's listening through the online connection and he's doing shukr more than us. He had no other niyyah except dhikr. We are coming, okay, I'll get the reward and thawab and I'll sit there in the majlis. No, big difference in the recognition and in being grateful. First, we must change our niyyah. Why are we coming here? Why are we sitting here? So we have to learn about how to be a shakir, how to do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The asal point that I'm making today, that there's a higher maqam than shukr, and that is sabr. Sabr. About which I said, the sabr, oh do sabr brother, you're ill. Oh do sabr brother, you got difficulties. What is sabr? It's not a little action. Allah says, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Allah Ta'ala swears and then explains that become alert, awaken, awaken. And this is the other feeling. There are two feelings I said, isn't it? One is according to your compatibility, something that's according to your liking, and then there's something that doesn't suit you, something that goes against your emotion, your desire, and it's not compatible with you. So the thing that doesn't suit you, that you dislike, that pinches you, then to be happy at that time. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something, if it doesn't suit you, if you don't like it, and it's imposed on you, and then to accept that happily, that is called sabr. That is called sabr. So sabr is this point, the biggest sabr about which Allah Ta'ala swears in this verse. The biggest sabr is what? Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. That Allah Ta'ala says, we are in loss. We are in loss. Allah swears by time. Here the Mufassireen, the commentators say, why does Allah Ta'ala swear by time? By the time and the period. Because both things come out due to this in this generation. Yes, that you will get things that you like at the same time. You will get things that you dislike at the same time. So Allah Ta'ala swears. The time is such that in the same time you will have two opposite conditions. You will have things you like and prefer and you desire. And you will have things that you don't desire, you don't like. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you have something that you dislike, it's not according to your compatibility, your liking, character, and if you persevere, that when something comes across you and it pinches you, you don't like it, it's giving you difficulty and pain, and you persevere, then Allah says you'll do a big ibadah at that time. You'll be doing sabr at that time. Sabr at that time. So little things that you don't like and they pinch you, don't become angry and frustrated. Persevere. Have sabr. Allah Ta'ala says, for example, something pinches you, a nettle or thorn, and you persevere. Allah Ta'ala says, even if you get pain which is akin to a nettle or a thorn pricking you, and you are happy with that, and you pass that time happily, Allah says, I give you the rank of the sabir. And the person who does sabr, he is from the, amongst the sabirin. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By chance, these verses have come into my mind. I'm not doing the commentary or tafsir of these verses, in case you say this. I'm just speaking in accordance with the subject we're speaking. And inshallah, the tafsir is present on what I'm saying. You can go and read and look up and research. So, my habit goes towards Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullahi, because my shaykh was also the ashik of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullahi. And I also speak from his kitabs and from his tafsir. For this is according to my desire and according to my compatibility when I speak from Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. So go and look at his tafsir to understand and make the research. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains two things. Allah ta'ala praises and defines sabr. What is sabr? Sabr. Patience, as we say. So first thing is iman. Allah ta'ala has given to us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Yeah, which is higher than iman. As it said, that this is kamal. This is the miracle of iman. And it elevates iman. If you don't have this, then your iman is low, under pressure. But when you have this, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, along with iman in parallel is, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, which amal? Which Allah Ta'ala has ordered, do these amal. Don't do these amal. Both sides, doing and not doing. Exhorting and telling us to refrain from it. So these are both wa'amilu salihat. To do, when Allah Ta'ala orders to do, is amilu salihat. When Allah Ta'ala is not to do, is also amilu salihat. Same thing. Allah says, do this action, this is good. If you don't do this, this is haram. This action, don't do it. Both are the same in terms of the order of Allah. If you do an action which is unlawful, then you are the criminal, you're going to hellfire. And if Allah says that don't do this action, you do it, you're going to Jahannam. So if you do an action which Allah says don't do, you're going to Jahannam. If you do an action which Allah is saying don't do, you go towards hellfire. And if you don't do an action which Allah is saying do, then the same thing. So Allah Ta'ala swears here, both things we get, and you get in wa'amilu wa'amilu salihat. Amanu wa amilu salihat. Allah has mentioned two things, and then further two things. Watawasaw bil haq, watawasaw bil sabr. So iman, Allah Ta'ala says, amanu is on the platform of haq. Yes, Amanu is on the platform of Haqq. Understand? Iman and Haqq. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. So what is Haqq? That to believe in Allah, to accept Allah, this is our Iman. This is Haqq. This is the truth. And the other side? وَعَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The Amal. What is there? Allah Ta'ala has given the comparison of that. Sabr. Sabr. So the genuine sabr comes when? When a person, he adheres and implements the amal and the ahkams of Allah. And even if those amal and ahkam are opposite to my desires, difficult to me, the nafs says they're hard, they're bitter, but despite this, I implement the hukam, then that person is the sabir person. This is called the sabireen. Those people in their lives, and they throw themselves into that field where they implement the deeds Allah Ta'ala has given, His ahkams, even though they're opposite to what we like, that is the sabr. Now what is Ramadan? Has the doctor said to fast? Has the government passed a law that you must fast? Were you feeling like you wanted to stay hungry in Ramadan? No. So who fixed the times, dawn till dusk? Did Allah say break the fast after Asr? It's a long day, break the fast after Asr. No. Oh, it's too long. Oh, after dusk, after dawn. No. I'm just going to fast till Dhuhr. If Allah Ta'ala left it to our own devices, then somebody will be breaking fast at Asr, somebody at Maghrib, somebody will be breaking fast in the afternoon, somebody will be eating the food according to his tastes. But for the person of Iman, Allah says no. You have to follow my orders and regulations. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. All of the deeds that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, they are not according to our liking, so maybe, or our compatibility of our body. They are all the hukam, the orders of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Ramadan, why is it being called the month of sabr? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala gives us the order, this month has come now. You must stop this eating, drinking, interaction from this time to this time. Are we doing it or not? Is it according to our desires and liking or opposite to our desires and liking? Are we enjoying ourselves when we're hungry? Somebody wants at this time to have a nice cup of coffee with nice Sainsbury's biscuits, chocolate McVitie's biscuits and a cup of coffee, and he's reclining on his settee and he's sitting back and reading a nice kitab. Who's not feeling hungry at this time? Everyone's hungry and thirsty, but no, we're silent because Allah's ordered we have to do this. So what have we stopped? We've suppressed and controlled our desires. On whose order? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is sabr. This is sabr. The whole Ramadan is making us practice that my creation, Allah says, this is my deen. If I tell you, get up in the morning, leave your bed, pray salah, cold water or hot, you have to do wudu. After doing wudu, you have to go to the masjid, whether you've got a shop, taxi, business, whatever you do, you have to run, hasten to the masjid. Allah is making us practice. Why? Because your character, your nafs doesn't accept, it's not compatible with your nafs, but it's opposite to your nafs, and then you still go to the masjid on whose hukum? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like this 30 days we stayed hungry, thirsty, suppressed the desires, and we are fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's orders. And when Allah Ta'ala says the person who then for the rest of his life after Ramadan, amanu, Allah says first iman, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But iman is on a lower level. And what is higher? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That is on a higher level. So the darajat will be given. Iman is the basic step. But where will you get the rewards and the levels of Jannah from? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Because he shunned his nafs. He killed his nafs. He suppressed his desires. He controlled his desires. He squeezed his desires. Because nafs will never accept what Allah Ta'ala likes. It will make excuses. The nafs is in support with shaitan. Nafs says, this is haram. No, it's okay. It's alright, do it. Nobody's watching. Doesn't matter if you do it. Doesn't make any difference. Just do it. It's alright. So when a person follows the principle of Ramadan, that this is the month of sabr. And what was sabr? Sabr equals one thing. Allah orders and it's us who does. That is sabr. That's it. No excuses. There's no way to stop. No way to stop, because there's no excuses we present to Allah. Allah, I know you ordered this, but I can't do it for this reason. I don't like it. No. Allah Ta'ala said, don't do this. And you do that action, you are rejecting Allah. If Allah says, don't do this action. You're not going to eat, and you're not doing it. You're fulfilling Allah's command. And if Allah says, stop this action, and you are implementing the action, no, it's alright, it doesn't make a difference. No, I can do this, it doesn't matter, Allah's not watching, Allah's not listening. Oh, it doesn't make a difference, oh, it's too strict, this is. Oh, look, if I give a bribe, then my employment will become more strong. Oh, I'm doing business, I've got to do this haram action, so I can earn more. And so my business is elevated and becomes famous. So you're mixing haram with your desires and against what Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Why? Because you are trying to elevate and increase your business or your job or your earnings or your turnover or your condition in life, your luxuries or your comforts. Just a few days this life is. Ramadan teaches us this, that from morning till evening, just like you fulfill the desires of Allah and fulfill the orders of Allah, implemented the orders of Allah, this was just 30 days. But your life beyond that is only for a few days, and live your life like this as well. Persevere and live your life like this for the rest of your life, and then see what you will get. Then you will be given the title of Sabireen. And what will be your maqam? The hadith explains the maqam, the reward of the sabir. So do we get the lesson from who is the sabir today? Totally, we don't go 1 inch, 1 centimeter left or right against Allah Ta'ala's orders. Well, Allah Ta'ala orders something to do, you do it. If Allah says don't do it, you don't do it. And you can't go 1 millimeter to the left, right, forward or backwards. Why? You're sitting in Ramadan. You say, oh, it doesn't matter, just let me sip 1 milliliter. What difference does it make? No one's watching me. If I take one gulp, it's alright. Oh, I feel like, let me just taste that tea a little bit. Oh, there's a sweet, you know, mithai. I'll just taste a little grain of it, just a little bit. Doesn't matter. Even an atom's weight, there's no way that a person can act away from what Allah's doing. The nafs, if it takes you 1 centimeter, millimeter beyond, then the wudu's broken. If one sip of water goes through the throat, then the fast is broken. The muftiyan say that even if you gargle, then don't gargle. And istinja, when you do istinja, you have to be careful. The mufti, they give us the cautious way. Why? We have to be very careful that may you not follow the desires and then you go in opposite to Allah Ta'ala orders. Because when a person breaks the fast, he's disobeying Allah. You can't even taste it a little bit, Allah Ta'ala. Smell it, taste it. No, don't go towards it. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the life of yours beyond Ramadan. Control. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm teaching you control. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So sabr, what is sabr? For who? For those who practice salihat. Allah says, I'll give you the rank of sabr when you do amal on my ahkams, on my laws, on my orders. After you get iman, you get haq, the truth. You've got the truth in your life. Both things come as an answer to haq. Both things. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you have iman, you get the haq, the true path. And when you have amal salihat, you get the reward and the rank and the station of sabir, of the sabireen. So when a person brings iman into his heart, he's bearing witness that Allah is one and all of Allah's laws I accept, and I accept Allah Ta'ala's deen. And when a person does the deed, the amal salihat, then what does he become? The sabireen. He becomes the sabir person. He's included in the group of the sabireen. And when he doesn't do amal salihat, then he's away from the sabireen. And Allah has mentioned in the Quran that the people, the men who do sabr and the women who do sabr, they are the ones who get the reward from Allah. And in Jannah, I give them the station of maghfirah, reward and forgiveness, and I give them ajrun azeem. Allah says, what will happen on the day of judgment? For the people who did sabr, there will be the masses of people on the day of judgment. All of mankind who have lived on the earth, they will be stood. And Allah will say, stand, O sabireen. Allah will announce on the day of judgment, O sabireen, stand. The day of judgment, all of mankind who ever lived on the world, and they'll be looking left, right, sabireen. Who's the sabireen? Allah will say, stand up, O sabireen, who did sabr, who were patient. Allah will call them out on the day of judgment, on the day of hashr. Go walk into paradise, Allah will say. They're standing, the people of sabr. Who are they? The people of sabr will be those people who left their business because they knew. They left a business transaction which was haram. And they didn't think about their stomachs and their bank balances and notes. They would have left this. I've seen this in my life. Alhamdulillah, such people who were millionaires and then they became those who only had thousands because they had haram in their wealth. When they understood what the Wali of Allah said, they sat. They didn't even look to their wealth, towards their loss. And they departed from this world. And I saw that person dying. What his maqam was, because he shunned the haram. He shunned the millions of haram. And all he had after a few days was thousands. And we say, oh, let's give this bribe and this haram, eat this haram, consume this haram, and bank balances and accounts. No, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْسَلْمِ. Allah will call them on their judgment. Stand up, O sabireen. Brothers, this life is only a few days. Ramadan is reminding us. Allah will say, stand, O sabireen. Stand and go into paradise. And everyone, all of mankind will be watching them. First, the sabireen will go into paradise. They reach to paradise. The hadith states that Allah will say, ah, who's come? Who's come in? Who are these people standing here? These normal people, common people. No one used to call them in the world. People used to throw slippers at them and laugh at them. Someone calls them wali. Someone calls them the people who are poor, don't have good clothes, nice clothes, and nice assets and resources. Where are you going, oh people? Introduce yourself. The angel at the door of Jannah will say, who are you? They'll say, we are the Sabreen. Oh, he'll salute, stand. He'll stamp on his foot. He'll say, you're the Sabreen. Who can stop you, O Sabreen? Who can stop you? Jannah was made for you. Go, go, go. Go into paradise. Jannah's waiting for you. Go, go, quickly, quickly. So those people in the world who used to implement Allah Ta'ala's orders, they are the Sabreen. But those who broke Allah's laws to make their wealth glow, who used to enjoy themselves, comforts and luxuries, Allah will say to you that you, when you went against those things and you sacrifice your desires, you are the Sabireen. When you didn't follow that way, the wrong way in the world, and Allah swore by those people in this day and age. And with this condition comes on a person, عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَات وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَات. 2-3 hadith I'll present to you. In a hadith about sabr, how sabr comes, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, may Allah be pleased, when this hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi and Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that whether you like something or you don't like something, if you prefer something or you don't prefer something, if you like something or if you dislike something, if something comes your way and you like it or you dislike it, if it's compatible with you or it's not compatible with you, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether it pinches you or it doesn't pinch you, if whether you like it or you dislike it, what should you do? What should you do? There are many times, do wudu. When a person doesn't do wudu, he leaves many deeds. Oh, why do I have to do wudu? It's not fard. I don't have to be in the state of wudu. Okay, I'll read Quran after. He feels like reading Quran. He's got time. Wudu's broken. He doesn't want to do wudu because of laziness. Laziness. I'm telling you the truth. Quran, ibadah, Ramadan. You'll see this. Dhikr, we're sitting in dhikr. Is this not the fadl of Allah? Is this not Allah's mercy? Is this not Allah Ta'ala from His grace is given to us? How much Allah Ta'ala has given us His favors, we're sitting here. How many people are not here? Even those who are going to come, they've run away. What is this? Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. We are at loss, we are in loss, we are destroyed. Always we are in loss. Asr, time. So many people. Wallah billah, Ramadan time. Think, I'm telling you this hadith, and we waste the time. Even if something isn't according to your liking, and you don't feel like doing it at that time, then you should still do that action. Subhanallah, that banana the person gave you, and you didn't like it, and you still ate it because you wanted to make that person happy, so you had sabr at that time. So, for example, when something comes your way, and you have to do something, and you have to do wudu, and it's not according to your liking, you say, oh, I have to read Quran, okay, I'll read Quran after, I'll just do talaba from my mouth. It's not far to do it, wudu. But Allah Ta'ala said, I put you in the test, the trial, and I wanted to bring you towards my kitab physically for you to touch it and to see it. And there was a secret behind this, and I did your tarbiyah, and I wanted to elevate and increase your rank and darajat and test you that wudu at that time for you would have been hard. But does he do wudu and come towards my kitab? I swear by Allah, many hikmas he would have learned from the Quran, and many jahil have become alims by touching the Quran, by understanding, reading the Quran. Many people were jahils, who were ignorant, they've gone beyond the alims, and their hearts have become full of nur with the Quran. Because to attain ilm, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tariqah. There are people like us, on one side, for example, in our routine, if something's according to our routine, and we want to do it, and who gives that desire? Allah has instilled the desire in your head. Okay, I'll give sadaqah. Sadaqah, charity. Give some sadaqah. And your body, your emotions, your nafs, it doesn't want to give sadaqah. Allah is giving you the advice. For example, Allah Ta'ala invites you that I feel I want to give you Jannah today. Allah Ta'ala says, I feel like I want to give you Jannah today. And you'll get all the rewards. Allah Ta'ala says, let me take him towards good actions today so he can attain Jannah. So where will it start from? Who will send us the message? Allah will send a message that, do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in the wahi? In the same way, Allah Ta'ala gives ilham to the walis, to his friends. And all of these things come from Allah. Where does wahi come from? Allah. In the same way, a normal mu'min, a normal Muslim, he gets waswasa in his ears, good thoughts. Who instills these thoughts in his mind, in his brain? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prophets gave wahi, and what is the other word I explained? Ilham, which is alongside wahi. ilham, inspiration, divine inspiration. And the walis of Allah, they get ilham. And we are normal Muslims, maybe we'll get a whiff of that, a bit of a smell of that. For example, you're standing, you think, oh, shall I do some tasbih? You think. So when this thought comes, then straight away stand alert. And the restriction, you leave that and shun that, and you become the sabir, and Allah Ta'ala elevates your rank and your status. So for that reason that you are getting a bit of pain, difficulty, it was against your desires. Like I said, at the time you wanted to do ibadah, and you didn't want to do wudu, and you did wudu, then your iman increases. So Ramadan's here, it says, come on the path of Sharia, improve your appearance and your faces, and follow Allah Ta'ala's orders. Then the person who implements this has attained Ramadan, and he gets the membership of the Sabireen group. So Allah Ta'ala explains us this first example, this hadith, that you did wudu, and you didn't feel like doing wudu, whether you liked it or you didn't like it, and you did wudu. You did wudu. And after wudu, you stood up, and you did the ibadah, and you worshipped, and then you started to walk towards the masjid. You started to travel towards the masjid. Where are you going towards? The masjid. How many people have come to the masjid today? From thousands of people around us, they're in their homes, in their beds, resting, sleeping. How many thousands of people did not pray asr in jama'ah today? I'm speaking about Ramadan. Ramadan, think, imagine the magnitude. In Masjid Zakariya is a big point. This is a great reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That salah, normally in Ramadan, people leave asr jama'ah congregation. Yes, and they will have just stayed hungry and thirsty and thought that, oh, I've done a big ibadah, sat at home, nafs would have come, exclusive, guests have come, I have to cook, I have to go shopping, I have to prepare iftari. This was our test from Allah, isn't it? When the adhan is called, where were those people? Allah said, you cut off, you lost out from the desires. And Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, the mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Yes, the Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha, she said, when Rasulullah was sitting somewhere, and we were talking, when he heard the adhan, straight away his face expression would change, and it was like he had no link with us, relationship with us. When the adhan was called, he would hasten towards Allah. So when you hear adhan, you've got millions in your hand at that time, notes, and you drop them. Thousands of people are waiting for you, customers at your shop, and you shut the shutter, you close the shutter, and your shop is across the road from the masjid, but no tawfiq. You're counting the notes, put it into the machine, the note counting machine, he's counting the notes, but he leaves the jamaat. He doesn't pray in congregation. He doesn't want to go and pray in jamaat. Iman doesn't let him go to pray in jamaat. But in that same shop, the kafir becomes a Muslim. Subhanallah. The person who's the Muslim owner, he doesn't go to pray salah. But the employee who is a disbeliever, he got iman and prayed salah and went into Jannah. The masjid, I speak about Masjid Zikri. What's outside Masjid Zikri? Opposite. All marketplace. Have you ever seen the shutters down at salah time? Have you ever seen the shop is closed at the salah time? No. No emphasis. Oh, I just prayed. I'm hungry and thirsty. Allah says, this has no link with the fast, hunger and thirst. Allah says, I want sabr from you. The meaning of Ramadan is sabr. The meaning of the fast is sabr. Meaning of fast is not hunger and thirst. Now 30 days will pass. Then will you feel hungry afterwards? The times, will they change for your eating? Just like the time before Ramadan, then you change your time for eating in the evening, then you have breakfast early. So will you carry on like that for the rest of the year? No, you will change your eating times and drinking time back to normal. So what did Ramadan come for? It didn't come to teach us how to stay hungry and thirsty. So what arrow have we fired in Ramadan? But the real action Allah wants, salah time, adhan, you close the shutters, you go to the masjid, you pray salah. Allah says, I want to see you implement the faraid. And the orders, and people who lived in Saudi and in the Middle East, they know. Even today, their practice is good, isn't it? When the adhan's called, the shutters are closed, and they show it's salah time. Do you see shops open in those Islamic countries? People who have lived in Saudi or traveled to Saudi, do you see the shops open at salah time? No. So, four, five people like us, old people who are old, we're frail, we're here 30, 40 of us, we've come to the masjid, and we think that just this is salah, and the rest, they go somewhere else and pray, and they just want to do fasad in the masjid. Even if they do, they are in running after the seat and the committee and chair and secretary. I am the chairman, and you are this, and they're arguing. And your Chaudhary, get him out. These politics, these elections, these votes. Is this why we come to the masjid? We made the masjid big, massive, beautiful, millions of cost. We still want to make an extension and more masjids. But where are the musallis who are praying in the salah? We made the masjid beautiful, but where's the light of the iman? I am the sinner from old, and still I come towards the salah. I want to make a madrasa, I want to make masjid, I want to make this institute. Where are the musallis? Where the people praying salah. Every salah should be in the masjid in jama'ah. There should not be one prayer mat empty in the masjid at salah time. And then we could say we're doing shukr. Then we can say we're doing shukr. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person, when he wanted to do something, and he didn't want to do wudu, but he did wudu, and then his feet went towards the masjid, whether it's fajr time, or asr, or it's business time, or work time, or employment time, or class time. Not that you do wudu and you just sit in the masjid forever. Okay, I'll stay here, and I'll pray salah. No, this is not the hukm. This is not hukm. Fine. Allah Ta'ala said, asal is when the masjid is made and you leave your business dunya and you come to the masjid to pray salah. I'm not a mufti. I'm not giving the fatwa here. I'm speaking about taqwa, not fatwa. That I'm speaking in line with tazkiyah, tafsir and Sufism. That if you make your masjids and just you sit there and I'm in the committee now and I'm here all day long, or I've got a shop in the marketplace and we'll make a prayer room and you come and give a dam, this is a masjid, and in my warehouse I make a masjid and my workplace a masjid. No. Masjid is the house of Allah, which is constructed for the house of Allah, for His worship. So we make our own these today. You go to many places of work and institutes and places of education and we say that this is the masjid in there. No. Or I am the murid of this sheikh, of this person, and he's this, and I can pray Ramadan. No. You have to persevere. I speak bitter talk sometimes, but you have to persevere and have sabr. Because my hand went into the hand of a sheikh, and when the wood piece that's bent is straightened, then it doesn't go bent easy. Hazrat, mashallah, he aligned me correctly. So he said to me, when you go, you do dhikr, and speak the haq, the truth. Otherwise, that's why he told me to speak. Otherwise, he never would have told me to speak. He said, whether people are happy or unhappy, speak the haq, the truth, because you have to give the true message to the people. After that, you will be right and the people will be right as well, said my sheikh, said my teacher. So leave this idol from today. Where do we have to go to pray? To the masjid. You have to pray in jama'ah in the masjid. So otherwise, who would fill up the masjids? Yes? So Allah Ta'ala has given a chance. 40, 50 years, people sitting here, old, praying in their homes and other places. If the people of the dunya, the elderly people go, then young people will go. They go and pray in salah in the masjid. When the youngsters come, they'll understand what's a masjid. They'll say to the old people, why are you looking after the masjid? Old, frail people who are hobbling on their sticks. And their decisions are made in the masjid. Don't take what I'm saying bad. But the youth should be coming here. The youngsters, they should be running the affairs, administration with understanding and hikmah. But the elderly who've been there 30, 40, 50 years, the same committee. They play the same games, politics, backstabbing. They come back and they win the election again. They play tricks with the people and come back and win the election again. Brothers, stand up. Explain the deen. Why are you sitting like mouse and rats in the masjid, hiding away the deen from the people of the society? Go out and explain the deen to people. Explain to people. But we create quarrels and disputes and arguments among the society. So, coming back to the point of person. He does wudu. He didn't want to do wudu. He did wudu. Opposite to his liking, desire, he comes to the masjid. He prays salah. And after praying salah, he sits. He says, a little bit of time. Asr is a little bit of time away. I'll recite a bit of Quran. Oh, let me do a bit of dhikr of Allah for some time. Because I've got nothing else to do. I'm free from the shop. The shop's closed today. Let me do this today. Allahu Akbar. So he stated, what is the ajr for that person? What is the reward? Allah Ta'ala, for such a person, every day he can get this at all times. Look, what a big maqam of sabr. Of patience. Allah Ta'ala gives us a great maqam. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ That what is the reward for the person who has sabr? Allah gives a big reward. Allah Ta'ala says all his sins forgiven. Shh! Allah wipes it away. Wipes it away. Like with a wand. All the water is poured over the sins. And for the sister who doesn't come to the masjid, but she prays salah at the beginning time, is fard for the woman. Soon as she hears the adhan, here we have the timetable's beginning time, Allahu Akbar, she has to stand and do qiyam, and she will get the same reward as if she prayed in jama'ah in the masjid. No delay, oh, let me feed the children, let me do the school run, then I'm going to make food. All the pots and pans and the kitchen work finished. Salah time started, they have to leave the dunya because our women, they get lost. Just like the men folk get lost, the women folk get lost. They need to run to salah, hasten to salah with passion and desire. In the beginning time, Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Umm Salma, all of them had the same style. They weren't cooking, stirring the pot. Oh, my salah is going. Wait. Let me wait. And then they pray like a bird, you know, when it's bopping up. Picking up the seeds from the floor. No, this is not sabr. This is not the maqam. When you pray in the beginning time, turn off the cooker, the stove, the cooking, the housework, the children, going out shopping, whatever. Stop. Then you pray salah first in the beginning time. Then barakah will come in your time, in your family affairs, and all your sins will be forgiven. Clear, clean slate. And what's the second reward? Jannah? No. Jannah is a common thing for this person with sabr. Jannah is a common thing. What will be the thawab? Allah Ta'ala says, you've reached to Jannah anyway. Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't say Jannah here as the second reward. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention paradise is the second reward. What is the words in the hadith? What are the words in the hadith? First, when you have sabr, the first reward, all the sins forgiven. And secondly, your rank is elevated. Your status is elevated. Whereby did Jannah go in between? This is all gone away. So in my mind, the point comes, Allah has given such a great reward. Allah Ta'ala didn't even mention Jannah. Allah says, when I forgive you and your rank, your status is elevated and increased, then obviously you'll get Jannah. You've reached your Jannah, and after that I will give you the reward that I will increase your rank and your status in paradise. What a great reward. What a great reward. Allah says, sins forgiven and your rank and your status increases. Allah says, it's a given then you're going to have paradise, isn't it? So when a person reaches to paradise, Allah says, then I'll speak to you. You did sabr, something you disliked, you did wudu. Your heart didn't feel like you wanted to pray salah. You went to pray salah in masjid. You felt like praying salah at home. You wanted to make the musalla at home or in my warehouse. And my workers will pray to me. I'll have to close my shop. All of these things are behind this, isn't it? Oh, it's all right, we can pray. Allah, Akbar, and you become happy. No, the feet will come onto the face. The slippers will come onto the face. What is the effect of this? Allah, Akbar, the mal is haram. And awlad, shaitan, evil actions, and fitna, and quarreling, and arguments, and haram, no barakah, no blessings. And he doesn't even know what he's attained. Just for a few moments, and he could have gone and prayed. He could have closed his shop. He could have closed the shutters and given targheeb to the people. You also pray. The sins would have been forgiven, and the status elevated, and rank elevated. Another hadith I'll explain to you quickly. It was a dhikr time. I wanted to tell you three hadith, but I'll give you a second. It has Aisha, the mother of the believers, radiyallahu anha, narrated. Do you understand what's sabr? Do you understand what's patience? Has it dropped into your head? Do you understand it? So what is sabr? Now the second hadith, beautiful hadith, mashallah. Has Aisha, radiyallahu anha, gave the hadith. One reads Quran, he's like a motor mouth. And we stand there and listen, that, oh, he's taken all the thawab. He's taken all the reward. Mashallah, he's earned and we've got nothing. And what is being said here on the other side? What is the other person? He doesn't know how to read. He stutters. It's hard for him to read. And Mawlana starts there, Hafiz starts there, and he's doing Alhamdulillah, Rabbil, and he's struggling. He's got sabr. He doesn't know how to recite. If such a person who stutters, whose difficulty, and he is persevering with difficulty, and he's working hard, yes? Because why didn't you read? I don't know how to read the Quran. I don't know how to read. People say, learn. And when you want to learn, it's too hard. Where will I go? Where will I learn? Oh, a person will say, oh, this old man's come to learn. He's going to take too long. It's too hard to teach him. If a person in this situation, if he's stuttering, reading Quran with difficulty, and there's another person who reads Quran quick, fast, the person who's reading Quran correctly, with eloquence, and smoothly gets one reward, and the person who's reading Quran with difficulty, with a stutter, with difficulty and pain, two rewards, and he will be included in the sabreen, and he will go into paradise without accountancy. So sabr is like this, my brothers. So I don't want to increase this too long. I will close the subject. Sabr is such an action, such a condition, that when you have sabr, your whole deen go along with you, will go along with you. You will never sit and rest and just say, I'm fine. You will never stop. Your deen will continue to increase and get stronger and stronger. So when you consider, when you utilize your sabr, when you bring sabr into your life, when something is opposite to your likes, when you dislike something, all of the actions of Islam, when they are difficult for you, and it's not compatible with your preference and your nafs, and you practice them, Allah Ta'ala says you become the sabir. Subhanallah. Allah says, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Whether you like to do something or you dislike something, you will get pain and you will feel the coolness. So when you leave that action that you wanted to do, you will get pain. And when you do the action that you didn't want to do, you will get pain. Allah said, only that person can implement these actions when he's grabbed hold of sabr in his life. Otherwise nobody else can do it and he will fail. That's why Allah says, Wal Asr, I swear by the time that when you give you these two things, Allah says, I swear by the time. Innal insana lafi khusr. Everyone is in loss who doesn't do ibadah, who doesn't accept Allah, who doesn't accept Allah Ta'ala's laws. When a person doesn't leave haram with sabr, then he's in loss. You pray salah in your home, waste. When you do this, it's a waste. When you follow your nafs, it's a waste. Whatever Allah Ta'ala ordered and you didn't do it, it's a waste. But the person who implements Allah Ta'ala's orders and he doesn't wait, oh, my heart doesn't feel, or does it feel? He doesn't wait. Allah Ta'ala's hukams come. That's it. That, can you fast when you like it and leave the fast when you don't like it? No. You have to fast in the way that Allah Ta'ala said, whenever you said. So you have to follow Allah Ta'ala's laws, His framework. Even if the nafs is opposite to that, when he does that, then he becomes the sabir and Allah Ta'ala makes him successful. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Wa akhru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.